San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021. Today's lesson is Feasting on Life with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Corr. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wonderful to see you here today. I am excited about today's lesson, Feasting on Life. Feasting on life. There are so many things that come into play for this. And yet all of it is rooted in that one truth in which we anchor ourselves every Sunday. That there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. So let's just say, ah, ah, yeah, coming home to the memory of that truth being within us, that our spirit knows, that the one mind knows, and therefore that we all know. As Noble mentioned in his opening, this is the month of August, and our theme for August is vitality. So let's do a little recap on what vitality is so that we can see how it ties into and is an integral part of today's lesson. So vitality is the quality of being exciting or successful. It's an energetic lifestyle that allows a healthy capacity for vigorous activity. It's a characteristic, a principle, or a force that distinguishes between living things and non-living things. Okay, so how many people in this room are living things? Just as I thought, every single one of you, just as I thought. So how do we feast on life? How do we live life to the fullest? How do we remember that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? It is at hand. We want to remember the vitality of community. In 365 Science of Mind, it tells us, I partake of the divine bounty. Today you are to identify yourself with the more abundant life, to think of those things that make for peace, to dwell on the unity that underlies everything. As you consciously poise yourself in the realization that you live in pure spirit, new power will be born within you. You will find yourself renewed by the divine life, led by divine intelligence, and guarded by divine love. Focus your inward vision on this indwelling harmony, knowing that as you contemplate its perfection, you will see it manifest in everything you do. You'll see this perfection manifest, this vitality that the divine is, this excitement, this success, this enthusiasm for all is what the divine is. Well, you're divine. It's what you are. It's what you are. Everything you do, say, and think is quickened into right action, into productive action, into increased action. So repeat after me. My invisible good already exists.
My invisible good already exists.
I draw upon this invisible good. All that was unseen becomes visible. and it is all mine now.
And it is all mine now.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Ah, so breathe. Just breathe. Everything you think, do, say is quickened into right and productive action. There's a thing about the law in our divine creative process, the three segments, seed, soil, and plant, mind, law, and body. The law, the middle part, is the one part of the universe that always says, yes, yes. I put an acorn into the soil and the universe says, yes, let's get started on that grove of oak trees. I put a tomato seed in that and the universe says, yes, let's start making tomatoes so everybody can have salsa. The universe says, yes. The law says, yes. Always and forever. We want to remember that this is part of knowing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because the kingdom of heaven is inside. It is within you. And so the words that we speak, these are the words that have the power of the kingdom. When we speak words, when I speak my word, it is not Connie's power that makes things happen. It is the fact that I spoke this into the law, and it is the universe that makes this happen. It is spirit that makes this happen. It is spirit and the universe and God and the law and all of this that fulfills everything, that gives us everything, that gives us bountiful feasts, that gives us each other. I, as an individual person, human, with human power, could never do that. However, I, as one with the divine spiritually, am drawing on the infinite, omnipotence, all-powerful spirit. That's how it works. So anytime we think, oh, I don't think I can do that. Well, you probably can't. God can. God does. The fact that you even think about doing it is an indication that the divine has this idea for you. And in that idea, there is everything that is needed to fulfill it. Everything. So we're going to feast on life. Noble, in his quotes for this morning, has one from Emma Curtis Hopkins, from Scientific Christian Mental Practice, one of my favorite books, one of my very favorite books. And the quote is, love diffuses itself with all its powers. Having love, we have life, so we radiate life. Having love, we have strength, so we radiate strength. What do you think is the obvious pattern here? Having love, we have fill in the blank. So we radiate fill in the blank. Having love, which is this infinite, unconditional love, the givingness of the divine, the very basis of the kingdom of heaven. Having love, we have wisdom. Therefore, so we radiate wisdom. Having love, we have joy. So we radiate joy. Having love, we have vitality. So we radiate vitality. We radiate vitality, that life force, that life energy that is what animates us in these bodies. Having love, we have awareness. So we radiate awareness, awareness of our own divine essence. And it doesn't exactly rub off on other people around us, but it radiates. It's a radiance. And this beautiful energy draws people to us that are like to us. There's this like-mindedness that people talk about. Where did I put that? Like-mindedness. That's what we people call for in community. But you know what I think it is more than like-mindedness? Like-heartedness. Like-heartedness. You can have a bond with people because you share something at a heart level. You don't have to have the same politics. You don't have to have the same religion. You don't have to have the same career. You don't have to have your kids going to the same school. Those are things where people would have a common mindset. But how many people do you know that may be in your same political party that you say, I don't think I really want to be around that person? You know, we may have, way in the background, we may have common ground, but boy, I would never behave like that. I would never speak like that because I find it unacceptable. So though you may be like-minded in what you're talking about, you are not like-hearted. In this month's Science of Mind magazine, Ron Fox wrote the Daily Affirmations, and he wrote two of them that just touched me and I thought were completely appropriate today. For the 16th, he wrote, I relax into the beauty of knowing I am one with spirit. I simply invite all the good of the universe to flow through me as I become a vessel for all that spirit has to offer me. I invite all the good of the universe to flow through me as I become a vessel for all that spirit has to offer me. Now that's really cool because he's saying everything's flowing through me, and yet at the same time, I'm a vessel. I'm collecting it. I'm receiving it in my bowl. Well, that's sort of like what I think of as feasting. All the good, all the food, because most feasts can be considered on the order of potluck. Unless they are very expensive and some catering company has come in and brought everybody's potluck for them. But in traditional feasts, they were community and everybody brought something. The hunters went out and hunted and brought meat. The women made things, cooked and baked. The farmers went out and gathered stuff and brought in their crops. So it was really a community effort for feasting. So everything was flowing through the hands of these people, and yet they were also being the vessel, receiving all the different parts. So while all the good of the divine flows through us, which is magnificent, we are also not just channeling, but retaining all that good. We retain all that good. We retain the kingdom of heaven as our essence. Another one that he wrote for this month is, today I commit to life with intent and purpose. I move beyond fear and doubt, set the intention to follow my heart and live with inspiration. Following our heart and living with inspiration. Doesn't that sound like vitality? Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to move beyond my fear and doubt. The one says, not sure I can do that. Well, yes, because it's an idea of God. Therefore, it has everything it needs. And we follow our heart. We follow that idea of God. And we do it as a living thing. Because ideas of God are living things. They are filled with the vitality, the living essence of the divine. Another one, another book that I get is the Unity Daily Word. And again, this week, it's like both of these. It's okay, one mind, spirit, I get it. All the stuff you're feeding into me is feasting on life. It's all feasting on life. Then again, maybe I'm the only one that saw that connection. So for the 20th, it was unlimited. With God, I am unlimited. Of course we are. And if limitations seem to surround us, maybe we have too much to do and not enough time to do it. Other times it may seem like I don't have what I need to get started toward a goal. Now what that looks like to me right here, is a lack of vitality. Not a real lack of vitality, but a lack of belief in vitality. So when we seem to be lacking vitality, having doubts, it suggests that we then step back from the matters of the world and remember there is no limitation in God. As a child of God, you too are unlimited. And the divine ideas you claim in prayer align with the truth of God, and your faith helps you realize that all things are possible. All things are possible. It says, accepting these truths makes me more receptive to possibilities. And I say it makes us all more receptive to recognizing that we are alive, awake, and aware of Spirit's indwelling presence. We behold the unlimited Christ essence in ourselves, the unlimited vitality of the life divine within ourselves. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Through him who strengthens me. Now, keep in mind, this is not a specific male. This is the divine. Through him who strengthens me is the standard way of speaking for the clerics and the scribes who were, guess what? Guys, they were men. And they looked at God as being man. So that's why so many of these make it look like it's some guy. That guy sitting on a throne up in the sky. So the long beard and flowing white robes and long hair throwing lightning bolts at us. No. No. Cute picture. More like Zeus in that picture. But the divine is everything. So if we want our own mental image of the divine, go for Alanis Morissette. How many saw Dogma? How many saw it multiple times? So a feast is a celebration. It's usually a large meal in being held in celebration. Often they'll call, we call it a wedding reception now, but it's called, used to be called a wedding feast. So it's, whatever the reason is for the feast, it's a celebration. It's a coming together of friends and family and neighbors. You can find music, you can find dancing, you can find games, you can find entertainment. You can find lots and lots of food, usually potluck variety. But what you really find is community. Community of the heart. So when we are feasting on life, this we do in communion with others. Because it's not just you or me or some one person going and crashing a feast and sitting there and eating and looking around at everybody, not knowing anybody, and leaving like wedding crashers. Have you ever been to some kind of big event like this, some big celebration, some feast, and seen somebody looking isolated? There's always people in that community with their eyes out, making sure everybody's involved. Everybody's feeling one with. And so when you have someone there in isolation, they don't know them, it's like a red flag or a red light over their head. Somebody goes and says, "Hi, I'm Susie Homemaker. Welcome. How can I make your day more fun?" Or John's mother, Freddie, she was the sunshine lady at their senior community. And so whenever anybody new came, she would go to their house and say, "Hi, I'm Freddie. I'm the sunshine lady. How are you doing?" When there were birthdays, anniversaries, birth of grandchildren, there she was out there making sure everybody felt included. Everybody felt seen. Everybody felt heard because it was a community. Now, everybody didn't get together all the time, but they did get together for feasts. But this is a community. When we are feasting on life, we are also communing with each other spiritually. None of us are separate. All of us are one with the divine. All of us are these spiritual immortal beings having this human experience. And if we didn't have these bodies, our energy would just be running around in one big swirly mass. There would be nothing to isolate us. Nothing to separate us physically from each other. So why do we let that happen spiritually? Why do we let that happen emotionally? Let us see each other as the image of the divine. That is a unique manifestation for each of us. Even identical twins are unique. The company Applied Business Solutions that came in and did all the carpets in here and cleaned for us, the two men who came were identical twins. They were identical twins. So when they arrived, I had met one of them, and I couldn't remember his name, so I didn't even know which one I had met. So I'm looking at them, and I'm going, okay. Beard, hat, and the guy that was standing next to me said, "We both have beards." Oh, okay. Blue and red. No, we're going to take these overshirts off. We've got our t-shirts underneath. Okay. And then I realized one of them kept his hat on and one of them did not. And so I had their names up here written on the board, hat and hair, with their names. So I would be calling them the right names. But even they are unique. They are much more alike than, say, any stranger they meet on the street, but they are not identical at a spiritual level. They are unique spirits who are having this physical identicality experience here. They've got built-in community. When we've got siblings, we've got built-in community, like it or not. When we have family, we have built-in community, love it or not. They say family is not just the people that you are related to by blood, but it is the people you are related to by heart. You are like-hearted with these people that are your community, your family. And we right here, we are a community. Some people would call us like-minded, and yeah, we are on a lot of things because this is a specific teaching. This is a specific philosophy of faith, a way of life. But more than that, we are like-hearted. Our hearts beat in a rhythm that desires to be love, give love, touch lives in this heart of San Diego. We don't need to go out and touch bodies. We're touching lives. We are presenting this grand feast to all. We want to keep in mind unity, that unity is the vitality of life in everyone. And feasting is community that is like-hearted. In the Science of Mind textbook, written by Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, he says this about unity. The word unity, we might explain here, signifies the union of parts, a result of many drawn together into one perfect harmonious whole, oneness, one life of which we are a part, one intelligence which we use, one substance which is brought into manifold manifestation, one principle, as Jesus taught, quote, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also in us. End quote. That they may all be one like we are one. That we are all one. In the Daily Word, for the 19th, the word was free. And when I first saw that, I thought, oh, could he use that in July under freedom? But when I looked at it here, I thought, that's vitality. That's feasting on life. Free. I am free to be the best me I can be. If I long for the feeling of freedom, I look to myself first. It does me no good to wish something outside of myself could make me feel free. It truly is an inside job. All of these qualities of God, happiness, joy, freedom, they are all inside jobs. Nobody else can change you. Nobody else can fix you. There is no knight in shining armor coming to save you in the castle, and guys and girls can both be caught in the castle. There is no horde of shining knights to come and break you free. Everything in our lives is an inside job. And it's a darn good thing, because if other people could change us, we would have no control. You know, what good would it be for us to have ideas or wishes or dreams if somebody else could come in and snag them from us and say, nope, that dream's not for you. Nope. We'll take that dream and we'll give it to somebody we like. No, everything is an inside job. In the Daily Word, it says, through the Spirit of God within me, I free myself from doubt, insecurity, hesitation, and anything else I may have let hold me back. Thinking small limits my life and locks me in a prison of my own making, or a besieged castle of our own making. Today, my world expands as I leave thoughts of inadequacy and doubt behind. Our world expands as we feast on life. We feast on all the good that is. It says, I choose instead to believe the best about myself. I am confident, courageous, and strong. I am free to take steps to create the life of my dreams. An exciting future awaits me, and I boldly take my place in it. I am ready to live my life to the fullest. Doesn't that sound like vitality to you? Yeah, living our life to the fullest. Filled with this enthusiasm for life, this expressiveness, this excitement for simply being. And of course, the biblical quote for that has been used for all kinds of things, right? It's John 8:32. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It is so overused and misunderstood. The truth is our wholeness. The truth is our wellness. The truth is our unity. The truth is that you are an embodiment of the power of the divine. You are the feast. You are the life. And we are all feasting on life together. I have a story to share with you. When we're feasting on life, in this community, if you think about a big feast, there's everybody there, and there's all this entertainment and games and music and celebration, and there's food. And we eat the food. And how do we eat the food? Well, with our hands, with our spoons, with our forks. Somebody cuts it up and it cuts the meat up in smaller pieces so that everybody doesn't have to stand there and try and carve their own slice of prime rib. We have utensils, and we use these utensils to feed ourselves, unless we're a mother with young kids, and then we're also feeding our kids. So I want to share with you the parable of the long spoons. It relates to the question about what is heaven and what is hell. And it explains very well what heaven and hell truly are, conceptually. One day a man said to God, God, I would like to know what heaven and hell are like. God showed the man two doors. Inside the first one, in the middle of the room, was a large round table with a large pot of vegetable stew. It smelled delicious and made the man's mouth water, but the people sitting around the table were thin and sickly. They appeared to be famished. They were holding spoons with very long handles, and each found it impossible to reach into the pot of stew and take a spoonful because the handle was longer than their arms. They could not get the spoons back into their mouths. The man shuddered at the sight of their misery and suffering. God said, "You have seen hell." Behind the second door, the room appeared exactly the same. There was the large round table with the large pot of wonderful vegetable stew that made the man's mouth water. The people had the same long-handled spoons, but they were nourished and plump, laughing and talking. The man said, "I don't understand." God smiled. "It is simple," he said. "Love only requires one skill. These people learned early on to share and feed one another, while the greedy only think of themselves." So sometimes, thinking solely on our personal gratification, we tend to forget our interdependence with everyone and everything around us, so much so that we stop caring about them. But as this parable makes clear, by doing so, not only don't we help others overcome their suffering, but we're also unconsciously harming ourselves, since we are all connected on a very deep level. We are all connected. Feasting is community. Feasting on life is such a joyous experience, and it is available to us always. You are a portable feast. Wherever you go, there you are. And wherever you are, there is your vitality, there is your celebration, there is your sense of being with family and friends, being a community. There you have music and dancing in your heart, if not outside around you. You can play games or remember games played. You can be physically active. You can feast on food, or you can give yourself, nurture yourself with spiritual food. You can be kind and share with others. You are feast on your own as a part of this great community of heart. Feasting on life. Living life to the fullest. Having love, we have vitality. So we radiate vitality. Having love, we have community. So we radiate community. You are the feast of life. And all around you are part of that same feast. So enjoy it. Love it. Be it. Be it completely. Be the vitality of community. Because feasting on life, we are feasting on food, beauty, feelings, love, heart. We are feasting on all the qualities of God: generosity, gratitude, peace, love, wholeness, unity. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15 says, All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. You have a cheerful heart. I can see it. Of course, it'd be easier to see it physically if I'd given everybody a heart-shaped label that said cheerful on it and had you put it on your shirt. But I can see your cheerful heart in your eyes, in your smiles, in those beautiful expressions of yours. Feasting on life. So thank you for your time, for your attention, for being the portable feast that you are, and being like-hearted. Namaste.
Namaste.